He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to our listeners for this version of Car Keys with Jada Markin.
And Robin Leach.
And Mike, when he kicks in. I want to start off because I'm looking at a chart, looks like a calendar, of what is coming from many makers of cars in the next, between now and, let's say, 2028. We've been talking in a lot of versions of this show about the electric world and the push to get all electrified originally by 2035 in some states and by some manufacturers. And then we've been seeing some steps backward with some manufacturers slowing their process of going all electric versus maintaining hybrid vehicles production and even fossil fueled engines for cars going forward by other manufacturers. This chart, which I will not read to this show completely, shows what a lot of plans are currently being laid out by some of the manufacturers. I'm going to pick through some of them. Jay, you can chime in if you have some other comments about some of the manufacturers I'm going to bring up. But what seems to be the common thread amongst the manufacturers in this calendar of things coming forward, and I'm going to stick to 225 to 226 and 7. 2024 is on the calendar, but this is 2024 is almost over, and anything that's was planned for 2024 when the calendar might have been produced is already on the road and probably not worth discussing here. I'll start with Acura because it's alphabetical as the chart. And Acura is an upscale version of Honda Motor Corporation. And they have various versions of Hondas under the Acura name. And they are moving towards electric. I don't see hybrid in the list here. But they also have electric sports car coming in 2027. They do not name it. The ADX-J, I don't know. Have you ever driven any of these Acura vehicles? Because I have not.
I have. So, I'm trying to think if I have. No. We know Acura is Honda's luxury division, right? And
right.
So all of their models are based on their Honda equivalent.
Honda,
and I don't know the current models very well, to be honest.
Well,
I don't know what their sales have been recently. I think Acura is one of Honda is doing very well, and I'm not sure their luxury brand is doing all that great.
Well, it's a much smaller lineup of cars than the Acura lineup. As I jump to the Honda list here, lots of freshening is going on with models that are 2 to 3 years old, or even maybe only 1 year old, because freshening, which can be as little as changing the front and rear ends of the car to interior upgrades, larger screens, and depending on whether you're talking about electric or fossil fuel vehicles or even hybrids, there's a lot of variance between them in the interiors of the dashboards of those cars.
So let's cut
Honda
to the chase.
What's
exciting coming around the corner?
What?
What are the exciting models coming around in your view?
Well, it's hard to jump through this list without looking at it. I don't see a whole lot of excitement. I just see manufacturers trying to keep up with each other. As you see one manufacturer jumping ahead in SUV vehicles, so another one's got to catch up. You know, a year later, all the standard models are listed eventually in these charts. And for Chevrolet and GMC, for example, you've got the Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon, doubles, twins, and you've got the Terrains, you've got the Blazers, the Silverado pickups, and all that. And in 2027, there are a lot of additional EV versions of some of those vehicles showing up. to be sold. Nothing really excites me, to jump to your question. In the Ford lineup, Maverick is getting freshened. The Maverick is the smallest pickup that Ford makes, and it's very popular. There's an Expedition redesign coming. That's already that may already be being produced. The Lincoln version of the Expedition is also redesigned. The Nautilus is redesigned as well. But you ask for excitement. I don't think there's a lot of excitement. Most of the excitement might be coming in some of the Alfa Romeo, for example. You don't think Alfa Romeo may make it by 2028, but they've got a lineup of refreshings coming.
I mean, Alfa Romeo has been, has always had a sliver share of any market for that reason, except maybe in
Italy.
And, you know, we know they're owned by Fiat and now Stellantis. They make great cars. They now make great cars. They've always made, great sports cars and fun cars. And, you know, historically they may have had reliability problems and quality
Correct.
Issues back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But
right.
they still made some really, really cool cars. Now, their underpinnings are the same as a lot of the Fiat and Peugeot models, and the new, the Alpha platform is the underpinning platform for the upcoming Jeep Compass, which will come out in 26, I think, which we don't know much about.
I think that's correct.
Except that they will initially be made in Italy and then coming here. But back to Alfa, I mean, I have a friend who's got whatever their sedan's name is right now, and I can't even remember it.
Giulia?
The Giulia. It's
yeah.
a great car. It really is a great car. I don't know what, it's getting a little old right now. I'm sure it's due for replacement probably in that window of...
Well, the chart says 2026 redesign.
Okay.
So you've got two more years of Giulia, this existing so-called old feel to it. The Stelvio is redesigned in 2025. The Stradale, which looks like a mid-engine vehicle. I don't even know whether they're importing them. I guess they are, but I do not know where you find an Alfa Romeo dealer under this Stellantis moniker to see what might be on the showroom floor right now.
Well, Stellantis has no idea what they're doing in the U.S. market anyway, or their...
Well, that's what you've been saying, and to a degree they're sort of in turmoil on that front. That's a strong word for them, but it is sort of... They've got some more reorganization to do in their heads, not to mention their marketing of vehicles and that like. Let's jump to Audi, because Audi has known for the e-trons, and they're only going to... increase the e-tron lineup in 2025. An A6 e-tron is going to be in 2025. E-tron GT freshened, A5 redesign, Q5, Q3, A7, A3 freshened or redesigned in the second half of 2025. Whether anybody who listens to these shows wants to wait for these so-called redesigned models, the best thing about what redesign does for the old models, they usually can buy the older models at much more improved pricing as they're trying to get them off their parking lots, whether it be the production at the production level or at the dealer's lots. And the redesigns are generally not radical in many cases, so you're really not doing anything more by waiting other than to get the latest version of whatever you might want to buy. Buick. You know, Buick is a name that is not mentioned a lot. I don't see a lot of ads for Buick, but they've got some pretty good cars out there, I think. And, Jay, you know, you've been familiar with some of the earlier products of Buick, you were very impressed by some of the earlier versions, and we're going back to 2020, I think, or 2021. They now got an Enclave. They've got an Envista. They've got scheduled for Electra E5 new. I guess that's going to be electric. And in 2026, they've got a three-row electric crossover maybe coming because it has a question mark after it. I'm not sure what the dealer lineup is on Buick, so I'm not sure how convenient they are to be found, except that they are dueled in many cases with Chevrolet dealerships or GMC. Question mark, Jay?
Okay. I'm scrolling down the list here, and I'm moving down the list, and because I don't have much to say about Buick. I haven't understood
why they're even being their building.
Marketing policy in the last 20 years. I just know that we sell more Buicks in China than we do in the U.S.
They used to be built in China. I don't know whether they've been moved to the U.S. or not.
So let me ask you, what do you think of the new Dodge Charger? That's a full electric charger.
I read a bit about it. It's going to be a highly high-performance vehicle for sure. Stellantis has got a marketing strategy, I think. I believe that the electric version is not going to be any more expensive than the outgoing fossil fuel versions, and maybe even less expensive. I still don't know what you do with a charger beyond going 0 to 60 in like 3 seconds or 2 seconds or whatever you can do with the new electric ones. They've got a 1,000 horsepower version out in the fossil fuel version, which I think is maybe ended production, but maybe it's still in production. And the electric
I think it's out of production. And, you know, I looked at the Dodge website very quickly, and you have three models, period, end of story. You have the Challenger, the Charger, the Challenger being like pretty much a two-door version of the Charger. Both models have been around for, you know, years, decades. The V8 is out, so the high-performance Charger and Challenger is now going to be an electric car.
Electric, right.
Although, I think in 25 or 26, they're bringing back the ICE, but I think with a, you know, I don't know if it's a four-cylinder engine or a six-cylinder, but it's not a V8. Anyway, to my point, I don't know where Dodge is going with all of this. And
well, they also have the Hornet, which I mentioned recently in an earlier show as being one of the least interesting designs, new vehicles that's come on the market. And they have a very high-performance version. I think it's a combination of a hybrid and electric, but I still can't get my eyes wrapped around it to be anything that I would ever be interested in. The colors I mentioned in the earlier show also, the ones that the dealers have been getting the most of on their lots, as far as I could see, were brown, a brown stock color. The red one or the blue one that you might see in a showroom was one of the higher performance versions of it, but it still doesn't do anything, and I don't know who decided that it should be. I think it's built in Italy, should be brought to the U.S. because it doesn't do one thing to move my hands towards a wallet to go purchase one.
So moving on, I am looking now, and of course we cannot convey the image, but I would suggest anybody who wants to see a cool car design, Google 2025 Hyundai Vision 74.
Okay.
Vision 74 is a concept car from Hyundai, and it looks like a sports car that looks absolutely amazing. Very nice lines. We'll see if it makes it into production. Right now, Hyundai has their fastest sports car is actually an Ioniq 5. Which is, you know,
high performance version.
Which is a high performance version of the Ioniq 5,
right,
which is one of the best selling electric cars. And the Ioniq 5, I don't know if they call it the GT or sports or whatever it is, makes over 600 horsepower, and apparently it's not only really fast but also a lot of fun to drive. It handles like a sports car.
Yeah.
Again, what do you do with that on everyday roads? Hard to tell. But going back to the present situation and where manufacturers stand on, where the market is today, yes, EV EVs have had a rough few quarters, but electric vehicle sales seem to be back on track. And yet, yes, they are only about 10% of the overall market. But there are a few models sticking out that are selling pretty well. And I have to say it again, the Tesla Y and the Tesla 3 are the two best-selling electric vehicles. And actually, the Tesla Y lost a few sales this quarter. The Tesla 3 is up a little bit, probably due to its new redesign.
Also,
but interestingly,
I believe.
The Cybertruck is the third best-selling electric vehicle in the third quarter, which is absolutely insane.
Extraordinary.
In my mind.
And maybe it's because they're delivering pre-sold ones, and they've
absolutely.
Got the production up to be able to deliver numerically enough to make it be number three in the electric pickup.
But there is a point, though, is that Tesla is capable of producing that number of vehicles, which we know companies like Rivian and Lucid are struggling to ramp up production of their vehicles.
Correct.
Even though the Rivian SUV, which we have seen quite a few of around here in our tri-state area.
Yes, they are increasing weekly, I think, in numerical form.
Yeah.
Because I see new colors. I like some of the Rivian colors, too.
They are pretty cool. That green is nice. That Rivian blue is interesting.
The red is interesting.
Yep, I agree.
I want to jump back to Hyundai a minute because the calendar I've got in front of me had no mention of a Vision anywhere between 2024 and 2028. So whatever you were looking at is beyond the stuff that was allowed into print in this particular calendar, unless it was produced months ago before the Vision showed up as a potential.
We have a free press in this country, and it's called Road and Track Magazine, actually.
That's true. Well, you got Motor Trend also and Car and Driver.
Yeah, so all these magazines, publications are coming out with a list of cars, and some have maybe been edited. And again, the Vision 74 is a prototype at this point. But that's what the pipeline is all about. It's like what some cars will make it to production, others will not.
I've been on the Car and Driver website, and there's a lot of listings here of what's coming and when it's expected.
Yes, and what are you seeing?
And some odd ones, too. Well, one I'm looking at now that it's insane, Jeep Wrangler EV expected in 2028.
Well,
and they,
The Broncos, let's jump between that and the Bronco, Mike, and I'll let you come back to that. But I think Ford's behind on hybridizing or other getting an electric Bronco, not the Bronco Sport necessarily, but the Bronco, into production to compete with the Jeep hybrids now and the Jeep, the potential for a Wrangler all electric. What I don't know about some of these electrics, Jay, the electric vehicles are model for model with the fossil fuel are generally heavier, right, because of the battery packs?
Correct.
And they have a lower center of gravity. And I'm not sure whether or not you can keep the off-road capability in a Wrangler and a Bronco-type vehicle if you go all electric with
you
battery
can.
Packs.
And I can actually elaborate on this a little bit. I think, if you have what Rivian has, quad motors, like if you have an electric motor on each wheel, that means you can, you can move each wheel, power each wheel independently from every other wheel. There's no axle
Correct.
In the way anymore. There's no differentials. And the software can calculate where it needs to put power or braking power. And it can do so in very, very minute increments. So
Jay.
We know already that the Rivian will outperform a Jeep.
All the others.
Yes. So
including
I
the
think
Hummer,
Jeep
I think.
Wrangler, an electric Jeep Wrangler is probably going to be the best off-road.
Jay, I got a question for you technologically.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know the answer. What do you do when you want to ford 18 to 30 inches of water in some of these claimed capabilities of these fossil-fueled off-road vehicles when you've got electric motors at each wheel that are going to be submerged?
you have to have faith.
Okay, that may be the answer that our listeners need to hear.
We've seen electric vehicles go through floods and seem in some cases to be doing pretty well. So,
well, I know the battery packs in some of the cars are sealed. Those aren't necessarily the motors.
I know that electricity and water don't mix and match very well. I guess there's certain precautions to be taken when manufacturing these vehicles. But I'm pretty confident they'll figure it out.
I'm sure they're figuring it out. I just haven't seen anybody in a magazine, for example, go test something, or maybe they have, but I haven't seen them comment on it. I think the comment would be very interesting for people who read those things, because I would think anybody who wants to have a vehicle that might slog through mud and go off-roading, cross rivers and whatever else, would want to be sure that the electric could be, and it probably will, be as durable in that kind of terrain and area as the fossil fuel ones are. And, you got those snorkels on the Toyotas and the Jeeps that go up the side of the windshields for extra deep fording of extra deep water holes. And I don't know how the electric ones are going to be made to be able to do that kind of thing. And I don't think I've seen much information about that part of it in print. But I'm going to keep looking.
All right, so moving down the alphabet, I'm down to Volkswagen. 2026
yep.
Volkswagen Scout.
And yes, it's going to show up in 26,
pickup.
Right?
What's that?
It's going to show up in 26, I believe, correct?
Yeah, and so Volkswagen bought the rights to the Scout name from...
I know, fascinating. I just
International Harvester. And they are coming out with a electric SUV and pickup truck, and I'm looking at the... at a couple of renderings right now, and there is a resemblance with the original International Scout, which was a Bronco-type vehicle, which I'm sure, Robin, you know better than I do, that was around in what years, the 60s or 70s? When did they stop making the Scout?
Yes, and I have a car client for a garage I manage who's got a who put in last winter a Scout, and what is it? And it's in mint condition, and it's topless, so it they had a car cover in the garage. But this was a fabulous looking. I tell you, those retro looks are not to be beat by the new modern, in my opinion, modern designs of these variants of these last century versions. I still like the old Bronco look better than I. And I like the new Bronco look, and of course they never had four-door Broncos back then, and I don't care for the four-door. I had two-door Broncos, and I like the two-door Bronco in the current design better than I like the four-door, but I don't need a four-door, and of course it's the four-doors that are selling probably twice or three times as much as the two-doors, maybe even five times as much as the two-doors,
because you were talking about colors on the Rivian that you liked. Now that you mentioned the Bronco, I have seen just yesterday, I saw a metallic green Bronco, and that green color is looks very much like the green, it's a nostalgic green. It looks very much like the metallic green Ford had in the 70s. And it's like a mid-green, forest green, but not all that dark. And they seem to have lightened it a little bit, but it looks very much like the color they had out in the 70s. And then
to that
I saw
point,
a light blue one, which actually looked, it looks a little blue and pink.
You saw a new
blue
one.
Version, but it's actually pretty, it's pretty striking.
Well,
it's like, looks good.
My 69 Bronco was called Boxwood Green, and it has a lot of the qualities that I see in some of the Rivian colors in terms of it. Of the type of color that Boxwood Green was, and I love that color. And anyways, you bring that back. You bring that back to my memory.
I
want
to
just
go. Are we
at the end of the show yet? Because I want to talk about tires in winter time coming up. Because I've just decided that I've got to replace some tires on one of my Jeeps, and have so ordered replacement tires because the tread is down to the wear bars.
How many did you order?
A set of four.
Okay.
But the wear bars are the key visual factors that people should look at when they go to inspect their tires, because the wear bars shows the tread around the rest of the tires down to where I think you see the head on a nickel or something if you were to put it between the treads. But it is a clear sign that you should replace your tires if you want to have good tires in your car for the upcoming winter season.
I would point out, just thinking of this, if you are driving a Subaru Impreza, one of the not current models but last models, the rear tires tend to wear on the inside. So it brings me to Robin's point. You want to look at look on the inside of the tires and look for abnormal wear.
Interesting point to be made on this show to listeners who are, because there are lots of Imprezas out there. And I don't know whether it's an alignment problem, Jay, that has just never been done, but I'm glad you bring it up.
The rear tires cannot be aligned. The rear wheels cannot be aligned, I was told, by a prominent local shop on the Impreza.
But they do four-wheel alignments on many cars, correct?
Yes, but this car, you cannot adjust the camber, I think, on the Impreza. And you can see there's some camber on those rear wheels. And again, the Impreza is the car version of the all-wheel drive. You have the other version of the Impreza, the
Forester,
the Crosstrek.
Oh, the Crosstrek,
the SUV version, which is a
and
little
that
higher.
That doesn't have the same problem.
Probably not. Probably the wheels are don't have any camber because the whole chassis is off the ground more. But on the Impreza, the rear tires wear on the inside.
So okay, listeners, if you've got an Impreza and you're checking your treads, check the inside treads for excessive wear beyond the rest of the tire. And, of course, if you have excessive wear, you're getting down to where you get to the cords and where you get the failure of a tire. So don't take this comment lightly from Jay about checking that situation in Impreza.
All right. I can give you about 2 minutes here. How about it seems appropriate to talk about winter tires?
Well, that's what I was getting to. I think you want to talk, and Jay, you can jump in, more about the tread depth for whatever tires you're putting on your car. A lot of people don't want to put a winter tread tire on their car because then you have to have sort of two types of tires, and you have to swap them in the seasons if you don't want to wear one out prematurely in conditions that they aren't needed for. So they have all-season tires, which is the common tread that seems to come on many of the cars that come off the assembly line. And the key to a fairly good tire performance is the tread depth. Jay, do you want to comment?
Yes. There's not just tread and tread depth, but there's also a compound. Rubber compound is different from winter tires. And I think if you need to drive every day, regardless of what the weather is, you should really seriously consider winter tires because they do make a big difference, even relative to good all seasons tires.
Okay, so I would go with that if we have a real winter.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, exactly.
And
because I'm getting
that.
All season replacements for the Jeep Cherokee.
So next week I'd like to bring up. Next week, I'd like to bring up cost of car insurance.
Okay. It's going up.
Yes.
Especially if you have an electric.
Well, an electric or a very high-performance vehicle, too.
Yep.
Such as a Hyundai N line of cars. And the Kia, had a very high-performance Optima. And I read about the insurance cost on that, and it was horrific compared to a non-high-performance version of that car on an annual.
It's also maybe the time to look at what other insurance companies are doing and not just yours, because there are big variations in prices. We can talk about that next week.
Okay, well, next a show that may follow.
Yes.
A show that may follow if we make it.
You have been listening to Car Keys with
Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin.
Listening.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.